Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines at 5 o'clock, brought to you by VenueKings.com. Disney and the NFL have agreed to terms on a new 10-year extension of their current ABC ESPN deal, a price tag of between $2.4 and $2.6 billion, up from just under $2 billion in the last deal. Remy Martin torching the Dogs for the second time in 3 days, scoring 31 last night in an 80-72 Arizona State win over Washington. The Devils pulled away from a tight game with an 8-0 run over the final 2 minutes. Kevin Durant's going to be out till after the All-Star break with a hamstring injury. Former Zag Domantas Sabonis will take Durant's place. Add Duke Johnson to the list of running back free agents. He was just released by the Texans today. Brooks Koepka leads the way at the midway point of the World Golf Championship in Florida at 11 under. He leads three players, including PGA champ Colin Morikawa, by one shot. All right, it's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock hour means sponsored by our friends at West Coast Men's Health. Perform the way you used to. Right now, go to westcoastmenshealth.com. All right, time to get to what's brewing.
Yeah, I bet you could use a cool one, huh?
Now you're talking.
This is What's Brewing, powered by Pelican Brewing, the folks that bring you Beat Breaker Double IPA.
Manny, look at this Pelican flag. Come on, Pelican!
On Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Oh, special thanks to Pelican Brewing. It is our What's Brewing segment. We've got to give you something to watch this weekend, right? It's a preview of what's going on this weekend. Lots and lots and lots of basketball. We begin on the college hardwood, the Big Ten, 7 teams in the top 25. Two of them go head-to-head in Madison tomorrow at 11 a.m. on ESPN. 23rd-ranked Wisconsin hosting number 5, Illinois. The best game of the weekend, in my book, number 2, undefeated Baylor, visiting Allen Fieldhouse to take on 17th-ranked Kansas. The Jayhawks have righted the ship. 5 wins in their last 6 games after losing 5 of 7, dropped them out of the rankings a couple of weeks ago. Meanwhile, the Bears won the first matchup that was in Waco by just 8 points last month, so this should be a good one in Lawrence. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, 4th-ranked Ohio State hosting number 9, Iowa, who just got spanked last night by Michigan by 22 points. A win would obviously further increase the Buckeyes' chances at the number 1 seed. Hawkeyes may be done with a chance at the number 1 seed, but at least a win over Ohio State would kind of keep them in that number 1 seed conversation. All right, let's switch from college basketball to the world of the National Basketball Association. Tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN, the Lakers. Yikes! What's going on with the Lakers? Well, Anthony Davis is hurt. That's the number one thing going on with the Lakers. They're trying to snap a 4-game losing streak. They take on Dame and the Blazers. Lillard has picked up his assist game recently, and we know his scoring game is good, but how about this? 5 of his last 6 games, Damian Lillard has gotten a double-digit assist. 2 NBA games worth watching on Sunday. 1 at 12:30 on ABC. It's a potential finals preview. The Milwaukee Bucks hosting the LA Clippers. And then the primetime ESPN game at 5 o'clock. The Lakers are back in action. So 2 games for LA this weekend. They host Steph and the Warriors. Steph Curry averaging 34 points in the month of February. That should be a good one. All right, speaking of basketball, it's time to get down to the brass tacks with a McDonald's All-American, a guy that declared committed to the University of Washington and recently has been named one of the 3 members of Washington State's basketball elite to be named McDonald's All-American. Olympia Bears forward Jackson Grant joins us here on 950 KJR. Jackson, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, first of all, congratulations. I mean, McDonald's All-American. I mean, that is the coup de grace, man. What is it like getting the news that you're going to be part of the most elite fraternity of high school basketball players in history and joining the likes of the Jordans and the Kobes and the LeBrons?
Yeah, it's super cool. I remember it was just a couple days ago, but I was watching on TV with my mom, and then just seeing my name, I was just like, started thinking about all the other names and that kind of fraternity of brothers that's the McDonald's All-Americans from past to present, and just seeing how all those people, or a lot of those people, are in the NBA now, and just seeing how that path kind of started with the McDonald's All-American game, and then just kind of realizing that's like the biggest achievement. That's as high as it can get for high school basketball, is being selected as a McDonald's All-American. So that was just an amazing honor.
It certainly is. And what is the plan for McDonald's? I mean, what will you guys be able to do? Will there be any type of game, maybe later on in the spring or later on in the summer?
Yeah, as of right now, everything's saying, they sent me a packet and stuff, and it's all been saying that there's no game. So what we're doing right now is just we're filming some of like our home workouts and sending in some clips from games that we've played last season and highlights and stuff. And I think they're going to do like some special. Cool. And just like kind of show that and show some interviews. We're having interviews at home. They sent us questions to do. So just that kind of stuff to just kind of like air and still like honor the people without actually having a game.
It's got to be kind of a bummer though, doesn't it? I mean, geez, I mean, you're the one class, man. You just happen to be the age, the one class that doesn't get a game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. I was, I think that would be super fun to play on national TV and play with the best players in the country around my age, and then just not being able to have that opportunity is really a bummer. But I understand with COVID guidelines and everything that's going on right now, there's bigger things in the world than a high school all-star game.
That's a great perspective. Now, you are going to be playing, right? You're traveling this weekend. Where are you going this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually going to Sacramento this weekend to play some games with a club team, and that should be pretty fun.
So, tell us what your schedule has been like. Obviously, with Zoom school and all that sort of stuff, but what has your basketball schedule been like? What have you been able to do, both individually working out with trainers or coaches, and what have you been able to do as a team, either your high school team or your AAU team?
Yeah, so I have, I've been working out a lot by myself. I usually work out every day by myself. The gym down the road from me just opened up a couple months ago, so we can actually go in there and get some one-on-one stuff and some actual drills going in an actual gym, so that's nice. And then as far as, like, team stuff goes, our season here in Washington for basketball is supposed to be starting in the third season, so that's the end of April. Mm-hmm. So we've started doing some team practices. We finally got access to Olympia High School's gym, so we've been able to practice in our home gym for a little bit, and that's been nice. And then throughout the summer, just taking trips with Supreme and this other club, this Olympia, I've been traveling with them also and playing some games, so that's been good game experience to get through the summer.
I talked to your high school coach, John Kiley, a couple of days ago. What a fabulous coach and guy he is. I know you agree with that. I mean, he was optimistic about, potentially 13 to 16, 17 games. So, I mean, we're almost talking about a full season worth of games if this pandemic trend continues to go in the right direction over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and he was actually really excited when the metrics and stuff came out that would say that we were in the third season, because he's just looking at that as, like, that gives us the most time to, like, see other sports play and see how that works out, and then have the most chance to have the closest thing to a real season by the time we get to start playing.
And he was talking about how a lot of you guys on this team, which I love, I'm totally old school. I love that, you've had this group of friends together since you were in the third grade. I'm doing that right now with my son's basketball team. They started playing in kindergarten, and I've got most of the same kids, and now they're in fifth grade. And, before I blink, they're going to be seniors in high school, maybe still playing together. What does that mean to you personally, and what does that mean for that Olympia basketball team that you just have had this cohesive unit for like 8 years?
Yeah, for me it's super cool to be able to have that experience, and I think for the high school team it's really good for us because we're like super close now. Like, now that all my friends, for a couple years, like when I was a freshman and my other friends were freshmen, like I was on varsity and they were on the lower team, so we had a couple years where like we were separate, but now that we're all seniors and all on varsity, like it's a super fun way to kind of like wrap up our like basketball career, like all playing high school together as seniors and just I think that brings our team really close together. We're really able to push ourselves and push each other and challenge each other because we're such good friends.
Okay, so you were on varsity as a freshman. Tell me, how tall were you as a freshman and how much did you weigh? Because there might have been a big-time weight difference between some of those guys you were trying to box out when you were 14 years old.
Yeah, I was about 6'7", 6'8", freshman year, and I think I weighed between 190 and 195, probably.
Okay, so not, I mean, you wouldn't blow away in a stiff breeze. You had some weight to you.
Yeah. I can hold my own.
Jackson Grant joining us from the Olympia Bears, the McDonald's All-American headed to the University of Washington. We'll talk about the Dogs in just a couple of moments. But, you know, the thing that jumped out to me in watching you play both in high school and then just seeing some of your AAU film is the versatility. So tell me about, you know, were you tall early on? You mentioned being 6'7", and as a 14-year-old, you know, when you were learning the game, were you a post first or were you more of a late grower and you started out as a guard and then began your post skills later?
Yeah, I was always a tall kid, so I was always the tallest kid on my team. So when I was younger, I was always in the post. And as I've kind of played high school and developed, it was mostly in the AAU season that kind of my outside game developed and that versatility. Because there was other guys that were as big as me and I had to find other ways to score and play. And in high school, I was usually the biggest guy, so I got kind of put in the post because that was where I was most effective. But in AAU, I got to play some other positions, so that's where the versatility really took off. And then my shot, I've always had a good shot. I hadn't really gotten opportunities to shoot it until like coming into high school because I was always just more effective down low. But popping screens and kind of like making some plays outside really started my sophomore year.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, your stroke looks great. Really, really does. And your body type seems perfect for that UW zone that Coach Hop likes to play. Have you played much zone with your high school team or your AAU team?
Yeah, we actually did play a lot of zone last year with our high school team. It's kind of funny because Coach Kylie's all the way growing up. You talked about how I've played with him since third grade. He's always been a man-to-man switching kind of old school defense like that. But in the last year, I think we played almost 50-50 with zone, which is a lot for Coach Kylie. And our zone was actually really effective last year. We played that all the way through the state tournament as far as we went.
See, Jackson, even us old dog coaches like Coach Kylie and myself, we can adapt every once in a while. It's tough for us to do, but... but we can adapt every once in a while. Jackson Grant joining us. And you committed to the University of Washington November of 2019. My God, the entire world has changed since the day you committed to the University of Washington.
That sounds so long ago now.
Yeah, and the fortunes of Husky basketball have changed. There's no question. I mean, they were a top 25 team like a month after you committed, and certainly they're not right now. So how would you kind of diagnose what's gone on over there? I'm sure that you've watched lots and lots of Husky basketball in the last year.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It seems like I think they'll get it figured out. They're probably having a tough year after losing their big-time guys like Isaiah Stewart and Jaden McDaniels. They kind of carried the team a little bit last year. And they got Quade back, which made it tough. That was why it was tough last year when they lost Quade. So I think me coming in next year, I can really have a big impact, and I should be able to play right away, which is exciting. But
cool.
I trust in Coach Hoppen, and I believe in him, so I think he'll get it figured out.
Good. So Husky fans don't need to worry that that Jackson Grant might be wavering due to their record the last year.
Nope.
Very good.
Not anytime soon.
Love it. What made you commit in the first place to Hop?
I really like Coach Hop. He has a lot of the same energy that Coach Kylie does. He's super energetic and super encouraging to his players. And I also really liked how Seattle was close to home. I want to be able to be a member of the community, like an active member of the community. I always thought of coming back home when I'm on breaks from up north and coming down and coming to Ole practices and just speaking, getting to play with some of the younger guys and just having that kind of feel, like being around the community. So being in Seattle helped me to stay close to home also.
Hey, well, Jackson, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I can't wait for you to get on the floor with your high school team. I certainly hope I'll actually be able to come to a game in person if they will allow me. I will definitely. I'll take my son down there and show him, hey, this is what a big-time 18-year-old basketball player looks like, and a great, great team as well. You guys got fourth in state last year, and I wish you the best. I know there's not like a state tournament per se, but hopefully you guys can be playing for some sort of regional championship this year. Congratulations, man. Can't wait to watch you play.
Thank you.
McDonald's All-American Jackson Grant headed to the UW, joining us here on 950 KJR. We're going to bring Donald Watts back into the fold, and speaking of the Husky basketball team, it is time to dissect what is wrong with the Washington basketball team with Washington legend Donald Watts next on 950 KJR.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is what bad teams do, though.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
Now, are you referring to Softy and Dick, or are you referring to the topic of conversation in this next segment, the Washington basketball team, when you drop that? Play that drop one more time there, Jackson.
Oh, I don't have the drop. I have the rejoin. We'll just play the rejoin.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is what bad teams do, though.
So what do you think? Is that Softy and me, or is that the 5-and-whatever Washington Husky basketball team that you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
That's you and Softy, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
Get off my squad.
I hear you. I know.
No, they're easy to get on right now.
They are. We appreciate Jackson Grant for taking a few minutes joining us. You want to see some hope. You want to see some hope, and it's so hard to, kind of get a good feel of what these kids can bring to the table when you don't even get a chance to see them, Donald. I mean, we'd be in districts right now. I mean, I would have probably seen Jackson Grant play a minimum of 3 times this year already in a gym. And I haven't seen him at all. I mean, I got to look him up on YouTube highlights from last year, because these kids aren't getting a chance to play. What is it going to do to their development, do you think, going to the next level? Will it be harder for a kid like Jackson, Paolo Banchero, Nolan Hickman, to produce right away at the next level when they haven't had their reps?
It's a weird world we live in, and it really is dependent. I think one of the things we've seen at the NBA and at the college level is a lot of these guys and girls that are at home and have a gym to get into that are like spending 2 and 3, sessions a day in the gym, they're coming off and blowing the top off because they're getting so much work in. You look at the NBA 3-point shooting percentage and, guys can't go anywhere. And
right. You're talking about gyms in their own house.
Yeah,
like these NBA
gyms
guys,
in their own house. Yeah. Or we have a gym that we have access to all the time. Or, if you're in an area where you have access to a gym or you can do it outside, there's so much fewer distractions. And those players who are passionate about the game and can get to it.
Yes.
It's almost like, oh, man, they're taking their whole game to another level because they don't have all the distractions. And then when they get back out there, there's such a separation between the guy who's been working and a guy who's been, playing video games,
yes.
Right? It really just depends on the situation. I think the biggest thing is what you said is we don't get to see them, and they don't know, and it's a weird, weird world for any kid coming into college, because I mean he committed to the UW with the anticipation that there was a senior class that was graduating.
Yes.
And you don't even know if that's happening now at any university.
Right.
So you don't know if the room is there for you. Everything has changed, and nobody knows what that looks like. We don't know who's going to be back on this roster next year at the University of Washington.
How is it working for your kids who are both recruitable athletes without question?
Oh man, it's rough, but we're blessed, right? It's rough in the sense that nobody, this is the year. My son hadn't played AAU basketball really at all.
He's a junior.
Year.
And your daughter is?
Is a junior.
He's a junior. Okay.
And this last summer was going to be his first experience, and he missed that, But we're doing some stuff now. We're headed to Phoenix today just because he's got to get that experience before his rising senior summer. That can't be his first experience playing AAU basketball. But we're blessed in the sense that we have access to a gym. He lives with his trainer. You know what I mean? So I'm constantly pushing the envelope. I'm constantly pushing the envelope. and he's done a great job, and we will have an advantage because of our situation, mm-hmm. but we're very unique, and most kids that are prospects just don't have the setup that we have, right. And it's really unfortunate.
Well, what else is unfortunate is me spending 4 hours of my week watching Husky basketball, which I did. I spent, and I don't know why. I think it was just one of those things. I kind of explained it. Jackson wasn't here either, but I explained it on I guess Wednesday it was, that Tuesday night game, which was as bad as I've seen since the game that got Romar fired.
Right.
The 40-point loss to UCLA that got Romar. I mean, that was that bad. And, you know, it was just one of those things. Dixon was at Watts Basketball. He mm-hmm. was doing his thing. My daughter was watching some teeny bopper show. My wife was on the computer on a Zoom call at work, right? And so I'm like,
you're torching yourself.
All right. I'm going to pop open a couple of cold ones to get through this one. But at least I had Bill Walton. And, you know, I know Bill Walton I'm good at in certain doses. That night, I was fine with 2 hours of him.
Right.
I mean, just for comic relief. But he also presented something that I thought was interesting. He was giving Mike Hopkins a, you know, kind of a bad time. First thing, he's like, well, why isn't Quaddy Green playing? And Roxy Bernstein, the play-by-play guy, was like, well, it's been explained to us that Coach Hop wanted to try something new. And Walton's like, you want to try something new? He's your best player. What do you mean try something new? And he just like goes on and he goes, spends 4 minutes, you know, getting his point across. And then he said something I thought was interesting. He said, Mike Hopkins is searching. And I think that's exactly the word for it. All season long, he has searched. He has searched for a rotation. He has searched for a point guard. He has searched for somebody in the post. He has searched for what defense he's going to play. And it's just been constantly picking and choosing and not committing to anything. And I really think that's as much of a problem as the talent issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in a unique scenario with this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
You look at having a team where nobody has established roles. Nobody's been in established roles. And then, you know, you're doing your preseason in pods, not having the ability to go up and down and scrimmage. And it's just a lot. It's the worst time to have a new squad.
Yeah.
Ever, you know, if you have, and when I say new squad, yeah, they have some guys that have been around the program, but weren't insignificant, weren't in the same roles. Anything, they weren't playing the same role that was going to need to play this year,
right,
to be successful. And then you got a bunch of new faces who are coming in trying to prove and earn their stripes or whatever. And at the beginning of the year, I saw a team that was literally doing individual summer basketball workouts on the court, like five guys that were working on what they worked on in the summer. You know, Hamir Wright worked on threes, so he's standing out there shooting threes. You know, Eric Stevenson, dribble, dribble, step back, right? And it right. like had no relationship to each other or to the actual game that was being played. And so they didn't look like a college basketball team right. at all. And then you see, you know, Coach Hop is he's a worker. He's a grinder, and he's, you know, he's trying to pull things together. And you see them have a little bit of hope. Obviously, Seattle U, they beat Seattle U. But then against Oregon, you know, it's like, okay, we start.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like, they played well against Oregon here at home. Lost by two. It's like, okay, we're going. And then, nope. Step yeah, back.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
And they play well against UCLA, right?
Yeah.
And then, whoop, step back.
Step
and
back.
That's the way it's been all season long.
And it's like the guys aren't sold on what it is it's actually going to take, right? And we've talked about this a lot, and I really feel like I got duped and like the banana in the tailpipe last year with Isaiah and with Jaden McDaniels, right? Because we were in here and we're talking about, I mean, this talent, and they're complementary to each other and whatever. But in college basketball, you win at a high level with culture and camaraderie, mm-hmm. right? And when your main two guys who you were leaning on weren't there long enough to establish a culture, and the program itself loses all, like, that year of camaraderie because everything was leaning towards those guys, and now you have a fresh new start and no real practice or anything like that, and new guys coming in. It's a different deal. You know, one of the things I was thinking about today when you picked me up with the transfer rule, one of the benefits to getting transfers was, like, you were getting somebody else's, and I air quotes, damaged goods or whatever, right. but they sat out for a year.
Yeah.
And so they learned your culture. And so they stepped in, like, without the distraction of playing time and playing. They stepped in as somebody who bought in for 12
right.
months.
Right.
Right? And so they learned. With this new transfer portal thing, you're taking one guy from one program, and they don't have to sit out. I wonder, as college coaches start recruiting guys from other schools, like, are they going to be as successful with that? Because you don't have that redshirt year.
Right, I think you have to be very careful in what type of guy you bring in as a transfer.
Absolutely.
And you got to look at more than just the basketball player. You got to look at the person that you're bringing in. But Mike Hopkins is in, I would call it a desperate situation between now and next year. Most coaches are not in a desperate situation, but I think because of what has happened the last 2 years, and he gets somewhat of a pass this year, I would agree with you there. But 3 years in a row? That's not going to fly. I don't care what his contract says. 3 years in a row won't fly. So when you're in a more desperate situation like Mike Hopkins, can you afford to be picking and choosing the right type of transfers, or do you just need to bring talent in here, period?
It does not matter. You're not going to find the talent to bring in without an established culture. So the first thing you got to do is, who are the guys on this roster who are making strides, who can, that like, for my job's sake, I can depend on to make the next jump next year and establish the culture.
Okay, who are those guys?
Sabonis and Bay are starting and Bay are starting to get some, you know, they're starting to do some positive things. Mm-hmm. Eric Stevenson, he's shown some flashes. These guys need to go and have an off season of, like, okay, this is how this deal really works.
And be together.
Right. This is how this deal really works. And, like, that's what the program has to be built around.
Yeah.
Those guys. Nate Roberts has got to make a jump, right? Like,
yeah.
So my thing when I look at this team, they're not doing the college basketball stuff. You look at the stats, rebounding. They're being out-rebounded by, like, almost 100,
oh, yeah.
you know, 200 out-rebounds on the season, being out-rebounded by 200. Free throws, they're not getting to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. They're shooting more threes than free, and that's all that, like, you know, NBA, like, workout, you know, do what, like, it's the assist numbers. They're being out right. Those are the things, that's the tough stuff that it takes to win college basketball games that, like, you have to have this experience and be depended on to really realize, and that's where they're missing. You know, you got a guy in Hamir Wright who's, you know, averaging 5 rebounds a game and shooting threes at a 23% clip. He has more threes shot than Jamal Bey, who's leading the league. Like, that's the kind of stuff. It's like, yo, like, what? And then I look at his numbers, like, as far as, like, Hamir Wright and his minutes per game, he's at 23 minutes per game or whatever. I don't remember seeing him out of the game. Like, to me, he's playing the whole game, and it's probably because I'm frustrated watching him. Because, like, what are you bringing to the table?
Yeah,
you know, and that's, like, all the threes that he shot over the summer. Like, that's not what you should have been working. Like, that's not what you should have been working on. And if it is what you were working on, you're not bringing that. Like, you're not bringing that to us. You're not bringing that to the table. You're not helping out in that regard. And so it's a head scratcher. It's a definite head scratcher. I will say this. Usually coaches get 4 years when you come in.
Yeah.
Right? Coach Hop has to have bought himself some time with the first 2 years. What the other thing coaches usually do is they clean house to get their own program started. Coach Hop didn't clean house.
Well, it's a good thing he didn't.
It's a good thing he didn't. But he
that's when he won.
But he has to get some extended credit for building his program, extended time for building his program, one, because he's a two-time coach of the year, but also because he didn't do what new coaches do and make it his program as soon as he got in or whatever.
Right.
He took those guys in and won with those guys. So now he's really on year two of, like, the build of his program.
Correct.
And in year two, as opposed to year four, you're not looking at a coach in the same light. You wouldn't be looking at Coach Hop. It still would be frustrating. It'd still be like, where are we going with this thing?
Yes.
But had he not been the coach of the year two times and gone to the NCAA tournament and all, we wouldn't, and be in year four, you wouldn't be looking at this the same way. There would be a little bit more patience for him. And all I'm saying is, given how he came in and approached it, he's going to have a couple extra years to get this turned around because it's really year two.
Okay.
You know, and year two is a COVID year. And
correct.
Now, does he have
so
to get
it's like year one and a half.
Yeah. Now, does he have to get it right? Like, does it have to start trending the right direction next year? Yes. And so you got to bring some talented pieces, but you can't bring talented pieces to save the day.
Okay.
Because those pieces have, the stuff he teaches is nuanced. Right, like some of the defensive rotations, and I go to a guy and I leave a guy with the ball. And
well, hold that thought because I gotta talk about that, and I gotta talk about what my biggest frustration watching this basketball team is, and we haven't even mentioned it yet. We'll do that next on 950 KJR. Softy and Dick, Donald Watson for Softy on 950.
To Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Softy and Dick without the soft one. He'll be back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Don Watts in the house. And Donald, it's interesting that you mentioned the odd defense that you've seen the Huskies play recently. I sent this tweet out yesterday during the game. I said, I actually like UW's man-to-man when it isn't the goofy switch everything, double the ball, and fail to rotate crap. there are times when I try to put my scouting hat on for a second. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to see what they're going to do for 3 minutes and just see what they're trying to do defensively because they're not in their normal zone anymore, right? Like, what are they trying to do defensively? But the problem is the other team scores so quickly that I can't tell what the Huskies are doing because it's literally like one screen, there's a switch, the foot defense is so bad that it's just dribble by, pull up, jump shot, and good. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure what they were doing on defense there. I just know they switched the pick and roll there. So,
well, you're not the only one who's not sure. There's usually five guys on the court who aren't sure what their assignment is either, it looks like.
So what is the – you mentioned the culture. I mean, that's – part of the culture is knowing what you're running, both offensively and defensively. And I'm trying to figure out. Softy asked me this all the time. He's like, he goes, what are they trying to do? Like, what is their offensive identity? And I'm like, well, they set high ball screens and let Quade Green and Marcus Sahonis do their own thing and occasionally rotate the ball to a shooter. I mean, I don't know what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And my point was defensively, what they try to do, what they ask players to do is very like counterintuitive as a basketball player. It's very nuanced, right? Like you can see them when they're in their zone and people call it 2-3, 3-2. It's not like
I call it an umbrella. It's like four out and
sometimes
one handle.
They start with four above the free throw line. I don't know what you call it, but it's not a 2-3, 3-2, whatever. But you could see that at times they're willing to give up certain things,
sure.
Right? And so, like
the high post jumper, they always will.
Yeah,
give
yeah,
up.
Yeah. And like one of the things I think where that struggle with that is this is not the Big East. Like people shoot on the West Coast, right? Like so, you're playing Oregon State, and there's a guy who's going to hit that high post jumper and beat you with it.
Right. The guys at Georgetown and St. John's are those dudes that have been lifting weights for the last 10 years, and they can't even lift the basketball over their head. And those are the guys they give those shots to.
Yeah, you go to Stanford, and they'll take that all day. Like we'll take that, right? So, I think that's one of the things. But in you know, even with Thibault, when it was really clicking, that stuff is nuanced, what you're asking those guys to do. It's not what you grow up doing, right? Like rotating away from the ball when you just tagged it, that kind of stuff. And right. So I think for it to be effective, a guy has to be in the program for a while for that defense to take hold and be effective. And then on the other side of the ball, I really, as a player, I would like what he tries to do, because when Noel was here, the ball was in his hands. Mm-hmm. He was creating. He lets his players kind of play, puts them in a situation, tries to get them going downhill, and then the offense should work from there. But it's not working, right? It's not working. And one of the things you have to do is you have to have a guy who can, one, make plays, and then is willing to get off the ball. And I think one of the things with Quad A this year, with him being the offensive focal point, he did a much better job of it last year when he was playing. This year, it's one bounce too many, or, you know, like it's not establishing a rhythm for the group. And when they have done that, when you see him come out in an extra pass and that boom, boom, and it's like, okay, like
you see it every once in a while. Yeah, three or four times a game, you're like, damn, that was a really nice possession.
It took about 10 games to see it. And then when we saw it, then it's like every four games, you know, it's like they're not sold on it all the way. My hope, like I said before, is that you have some guys that are taking some lumps. They'll own it as players. Mm-hmm. The staff will own it, and they will use this year for the guys that are there to take significant jumps and understanding what their summer workouts need to look like so they can be cohesive and turn this thing around with adding a piece here or there, but not like, oh, like, you know, Jackson Grant's going to come in and we're going to win 20 games.
Right,
like, no, nuh-uh. There has to be an established culture. And I would be really worried, like, game 1, 2, 3, 4 of next year. First of all, I'd be really worried if some of these guys aren't back, right? Like, you need some of these guys back. And then if game 1, 2, or 3, that they haven't figured out how to play better off of each other.
The sloppiness is the thing that concerns me the most. The mental sloppiness. Quade Green getting a reversal pass at the top of the key the other night and throwing it to the opposite wing without even looking. I mean, it was literally a pick six to the end zone. Like, hit the defender in two hands like he was passing to him. Riley Sorn on Tuesday, going out and in a secondary transition, ball's coming at him, and he literally runs out to the three-point line, leaning forward like he's going to block a three, and the dude just went, oh, I'm just going to dribble right by you and lay it in. Like, that sort of stuff. That, I mean, it's February. That sort of stuff should have been cleaned up by now. How concerned should I be that that's just not being taught well enough?
It's hard to make massive ground with games.
Right, without practice.
With gameplay, yeah. Right? Like, if I always like in my development, when we watch basketball, I talk to people all the time. If you're in a tournament every weekend, it's going to be tough for me to get better. The reps for you to get better. You know, if you're a pitcher and you're working on your curveball and you go out there and you throw it 3 days a week and it gets rocked, you're not going to develop much confidence in that curveball as opposed to dedicating an offseason to doing that. And I think that these guys really need to take the lessons learned, everybody in the program, and put it to work in the offseason to see the gains that need to be made. And if it's a whole new crew, that's what would be concerning to me. If we're handing the keys over to somebody, if somebody who's getting the majority of the reps next year is not somebody who's in that jersey this year, mm-hmm. I think you're really going backwards.
There is a team 300 miles east that is playing as elite an offense as maybe I've ever seen in college basketball. We'll talk about the number one team in the nation.
They have a culture.
Donald Watts next on 950.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines at 6 o'clock, brought to you by VenueKings.com. Lots of people like to joke that NBA coaches are kind of worthless. Well, Toronto's head coach Nick Nurse and five assistants are in COVID quarantine, so none of them can coach tonight. So assistant Sergio Scariolo is coaching, and guess what? They've put up 70 points in the first half.
Free! Give us this free. We're free,
free, Sergio! 70-62, they lead the Rockets right now. Brooks Koepka leads at the midway point of the World Golf Championships in Florida. 11 under par leads three players, including PGA champ Colin Morikawa by one shot. Disney and the NFL have agreed to terms on a new 10-year extension of their current deal, price tag between $2.4 and $2.6 billion, according to our friend Mike Florio. Now, the NFL is saying this has not actually happened, but Florio and the Sports Business Journal are sticking by their reporting. So fight, 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 fight. It's Florio against the NFL. I love it. We'll see who wins. All right, let's roll into the 6 o'clock hour of things. Michael Sean Dugar talking about the Russell Wilson situation coming up in the next segment. But, yeah, if we're going to spend a lot of time talking about a struggling basketball team in the state, I mean, we got to give the number one team in the nation their due, particularly not only because Gonzaga is the number one team in the nation, but from my standpoint, Donald, and I tweeted this out when I watched their game this last week. I said, Zags are one of the most polished, complete offensive teams I've seen in many years, maybe ever. And someone responded with a link to a story that I had not seen at that point from The Athletic. Gonzaga's KenPom efficiency rating. You know, KenPom's been around for 25 years, been ranking these teams. He's got his own numbering scale. And at the time, before this last game, where it actually went down just a little bit with a win over Santa Clara, it was at 38.38. KenPom's been rating teams for 25 years. Only two teams have ever been 40-plus. That's 99 Duke and 01 Duke. And two more have been 38 or more. So Gonzaga is in the rarefied air of being one of five teams ever in the KenPom era to have a 38 ranking. And it's just, it's beautiful basketball to watch on both ends of the floor, particularly the offensive end.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the one thing that and they've gotten over this the last, you know, couple years, but the one thing, and even as I think about that KenPom rating, right, is the league that they play in when they get into league. Now they've done it against everybody, you know, right. Like they've done it
at Kansas, Virginia,
yeah, everybody. But you just, you know, you're always kind of like going into the tournament, you know, like you got Kansas, you got those teams that you just talked about who've been fighting for their lives against some people and right. Really sharpening iron. You know, and you have a Gonzaga team that's been, you know, playing extremely good, but not having the same type of competitive schedule consistently. And you just worry about that as the competition comes up. Can they find that gear, right, when things aren't as easy as you're used to them being and stay? And the last couple, you know, tournaments, they've been able to do that. Right, like they've been able to make those deep runs. They've been to the Final Four. They've done that, right? So they that was something that I felt always was, and you know, frankly, with this year, I'm still one who is like, and as a Gonzaga fan, right? Like as somebody who, yeah, I would love that to be my Huskies, but I like they've built it, they've done it, they've done it the right way. They've been consistent. Like you have to admire what they've done over there.
Softy would not like you saying you're a Gonzaga
that's okay.
fan.
That's
all right,
okay.
Let's just put that out there for the record. He's given me crap about it for 20 years. So he would not like a former Washington player saying that, but I understand what you're talking
about. And those are friends over there. There are friends over there who built that program. They're guys that I played in All-State, you know, Santangelo, and, you know, like Dick Al played with me, you know what I mean? Like those guys are, you know, they're friends. And so you're happy to see but at the same time, come this time of the year, you start to worry. Like, hey, you haven't had a good good fisticuff in a month and a half. You know, let's see what happens when you get in one.
This team, for a couple reasons, seems different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the first reason is Jalen Suggs. Mm-hmm. They haven't had Jalen Suggs before. They haven't had a guy that's arguably the best player in college basketball before.
Right.
They've had Adam Morrison, who won Player of the Year, but Jalen Suggs and Adam Morrison, they're two different cuts of steak right there.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Suggs is getting it done, but he's also making it flow. You know, like he makes the flow with Adam Morris and things flowed around him.
Yeah, came to him and it never, the basketball never went away.
It flowed around him. So, yeah, I mean, they would be my national championship favorite with that one caveat that I worry about.
The other thing that would make me encouraged if I was a Gonzaga fan, like I'm a Gonzaga fan, but like you, I'm a Gonzaga fan. I'm not like, you know, I'm not like the guys that are over there every single night, you know, in the bars before COVID and at the stadium, you know, and stuff like that. I reserve the true fandom for those guys in Spokane and the people around here that graduated from that school. I'm a fan of their basketball, and I've always been a fan of their basketball. The other thing that would encourage me is that I don't think, other than Baylor, I haven't seen any other team that can beat them. I mean, I have not been impressed. Other than Gonzaga and Baylor, I have not been impressed with college basketball this year. I just don't think, normally, you see a really good Gonzaga team, even a number one seed Gonzaga team, where you're like, you know, on any given night, 15 or 20 tournament teams could beat them. I don't think that's possible this year.
Yeah, they feel very, very, very polished. They feel very, like, even though they have a freshman point guard who's, you know, they feel very mature.
Yeah.
You know, they feel like they're fun. They don't feel like they're uptight, you know, like, and they feel like they really relish the competition. So I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. March Madness is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, and thank God we're going to get it this year, even though it's going to be weird with very few fans and only in Indianapolis. But we're going to switch back to the world of football. We can't stay away from the Russell Wilson conversation for that long because it has been a conversation that has dominated talk in the entire country, thanks to, in large part, the guy we're going to have on the next segment. Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic, along with Jason Jenks and Mike Sando, wrote that amazing piece that's being talked about by everybody. And he's coming up right here on 950 KJR. Donald Watts is in for Dave Softy Mueller. Softy will be back on Monday. Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
In Russ, we trust.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.